if you're not in the situation you want to be in, you have to accept, well, this is where I am. So how do I get from here to there? That's the best way to look at it is if you get this foundation, you accept what is, and you allow yourself to be in that moment and really focus on it, then getting to point B is just a step and another step and another step, as opposed to this really long road you have to go down.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business ideas, practices, and strategies while we enjoy our cup of coffee. And you know, I just figured out I don't have a cup of coffee on my desk today, and that's not a good sign, but we're going to make it through it anyway. We've got a fantastic conversation today with a guy named Ben Winter. He's from Denver, Colorado. He teaches success improv, and he does that in a couple of different ways. But one of the things that he's going to be talking about today is how he helps take the rules of improvisation and improv acting into the business world for customer service and helping people navigate conversations and conflict resolution. It's an interesting concept. I think there's some good takeaways that you're going to get from this conversation today. So grab a notebook. Before we jump into the conversation, though, I do want to invite you to subscribe if you haven't already. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel. We have a brand new episode of the Coffee Break Podcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. And we've got other video and other content coming out throughout the week, and we don't want you to miss any of it. So make sure you're subscribed there. And we also ask you to share this video, share this audio podcast with somebody that you think might get some interest out of this. Make sure you do that on whatever social media platform you're on, Facebook, LinkedIn, get it on Instagram, and make sure that they see that as well. You can also subscribe to the audio version by visiting lockdoc.net/podcast. That's lockdoc.net/podcast. Hit the subscribe button on whatever podcast platform that you definitely enjoy using. Thanks for joining us today, and get ready for this conversation with Ben Winter.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. Time for a coffee break.
Oh, yeah. Ben, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So all the way from Denver, Colorado, it has been fun to be chatting with people all across the country here recently. And I've got some friends, like we were just talking about, some friends in Boulder, Colorado. And all of that to me just looks like it's right. It's all Colorado, so I'm pretty sure it's all the same thing. Let's jump into it. Rapid fire five randomly selected questions just to get under your skin. Are you ready to go?
I am.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Question number one. If you were offered the position of mayor of your city, would you take it?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Yeah?
And I don't know why my video is frozen.
Yeah. we can reset.
That is weird. Maybe my battery is dead, even though I just put a new one in. There we go. My head isn't moving now.
There you go. I was like,
so random.
I'm not sure if he's frozen or not, but he's holding himself perfectly still.
While still talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right.
Here we go. Now my iPad froze at the same time. All right. We'll get started. We'll start over again. Okay. Ben, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here today. Now that we're not frozen, the future of technology here, we're just kind of all video, right? But glad you're joining us all the way from Denver, Colorado. Pretty excited about it. Talking about expectations today, right? That's pretty exciting.
That's right.
We'll be jumping into that momentarily. But in a form of setting expectations, we have rapid fire, five randomly selected questions just to get under your skin with unknown point values. And when you're finished, we'll give you a score. Are you ready to go?
I am.
All right, here we go. Five random questions. Number one, what is most important to you about your work environment?
The most important thing is for the people around me to actually be having fun.
Okay.
Because if nobody's having fun, then it's just not a good place to be.
Yeah. So on a regular basis, you're interacting with a lot of folks. Do you do workshops type thing, or is it what kind of work environment are you typically in?
Typically, I am out networking. So I'm meeting people who are excited about life. So that's always good. And then when I'm actually doing workshops, teaching improv, I'm having a ball. I'm having a lot of fun. And it's just, it's really enjoyable seeing people go from those, like, I'm not doing this workshop, to like having fun with smiles on their faces, jumping around the room. And it's just so much fun.
I like it. All right. Question number two, what is your favorite form of entertainment?
Improv.
Okay.
I mean, it is, but I, it's weird because when I watch it, I just want to be up there doing it with the people that are on stage. So it's kind of like a bittersweet where I want to be doing it. And it sucks when I watch it because I'm not the one doing it. So, so it's good and bad.
Very good. All right, cool. Number three, what do you wish you had more talent doing? And you can't say improv.
No, that's fine. I'll go with acting.
Okay.
I enjoy acting. I definitely wish that I had the capacity to put myself out there more and get bigger, better roles.
So, all right. Question number four. If you could have any person become a member of your family, who would you choose?
Any person. Wow. That is a really good question. I'm going to say Colin Mockery, just because we're like, my brain is in the improv world and he's on the show. Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Okay.
It's just hilarious. Ah,
yeah, yeah. All right. I got you. Hilarious. Yeah. All right. Last question. Question number five. Are you currently where you want to be in life?
Absolutely not.
Yeah? Where do you want to be? Where are you headed?
I think because I like being on stage, I want kind of to be in a place of bigger recognition for what I have accomplished and created in my life. And I want to create more and better and, you know, I kind of feel like it's a loaded question and that I'm always going to want more.
Yeah.
So there's being content with where I am, but always still wanting more. So I don't know that I'll ever feel like I'm truly where I want to be.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, that's part of it. At least you've got somewhere that you're headed in a sense that we kind of hang out here at always improving, kind of understanding where you want to go and then working towards that. So very cool. Well, congratulations. You made it through rapid fire. We'll give you a score of 703. How about that?
I like it. It's a good number.
All right, very cool. Well, welcome again to the podcast. Thank you for joining us. I think you've got a couple of different things going on. We want to talk a little bit about both of them. One of them is you have a website about, it's kind of an expectations flowchart, which I thought is really cool. One of our core values here is defined expectations. It's our first core value in our organization. And we say, don't be frustrated with unmet expectations if you haven't clearly defined them. You know, that's a really big chunk of what that looks like. So talk me through a little bit about how you developed that, or why you developed that website and that kind of framework. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll get into your improv conversation.
Yeah, so part of my teaching improv was constantly telling, when I would go through the rule of be specific, was constantly telling people, like, the only reason anyone gets upset is because an expectation hasn't been met. Mm-hmm. And the more I explored that, the more it was holding true and was real. But it didn't solve any problems. And I'm the type of person that if you're going to come up with a problem, you got to come up with a solution with it. Mm-hmm. And so I sat down with it. I put, you know, you're upset on a whiteboard. And I just started playing with it. I'm like, okay, what can I do with this workflow? How can I create something that takes you from that moment of being upset to being at peace? And that's how the workflow came to be, because I didn't want to just sit there with a problem, pointing it out, saying, hey, look, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. I wanted to actually do something that was going to help people, so, especially myself.
Yeah. Where have you utilizing that? Where do you find people get the most stuck? I think, you know, there's this a statement around a general question gets a general response. A specific question gets a specific response. You just talked about that being specific. Why do people have a hard time getting very specific and clear and defined in what they're trying to communicate or what they're looking for?
The biggest issue with being specific is the fear around it. You know, if I tell you what I want and you don't agree, maybe you'll leave. Maybe you'll not like me. Maybe the situation will deteriorate. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many fears, because how we grow up kind of defines what we think about life. And so if we share something with a friend and they turn on us and they use it against us or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it happens a second time or a third time. Mm. Well, now you're just, you don't want to share that information because you don't want anybody to turn on you. Mm-hmm. So as an adult, you have this little running fear in the back of your head that says, well, if I share this, it's going to be a problem. So I'm not going to share it, or I'm just going to share just enough. And, you know, there's plenty of people out there who have no fear around it whatsoever. And they just, they tell you what's on their mind and it's great. We all find that a lot of people find that intimidating.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening, is they don't have the fear of sharing those expectations with other people because they're okay losing you if you're not okay with that information. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, they also have to understand, just because you have an expectation doesn't mean the other person's a blank slate. They also have their expectations.
Sure.
And that's where you have to communicate and come together and figure out what the middle ground is. And I think it's called negotiation or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Negotiating down to a common denominator and then being comfortable running at it. But some, you have to kind of get it out there, right? And getting that, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, and maybe to your point, just in life in general, just typical relationships, friendships, whatever, it's the unstated, the unsaid, and on kind of both sides of the conversation, the frustrations start to build up because of the fact that the expectations were not clearly laid out or clearly communicated. And that's, I guess that's where I go back to that a lot in our core value conversation, because then don't be upset about it. Like, don't be frustrated because you have just internalized it and then you kind of were constantly met with that disappointment, you know, around that process.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't share it, there's nobody can do anything about it.
Yeah.
It's only there in your head. So you have no justification for getting upset. Because we as humans don't have mind reading. It's not a thing. There might be one or two people on the planet that truly can read minds, but they're hiding because they know they'll be exploited. So, like, if I knew somebody that could read minds, I would totally exploit them.
Yeah, sure.
They're not going to come forward.
Yeah, most definitely. So with that, you kind of created a website and a tool for people to be able to download a PDF to kind of help run through the process. And there's some other resources there. Give our listeners a little bit of information on where they can find that.
So the website is havingexpectations.com. And yeah, you throw your email address in there and you get a free download for the workflow. And, you know, you can print it out, put it on your fridge, put it on your walls at work, wherever you are going to notice it.
Yeah.
Because what I tell people, I'm like, if you understand that the moment in time that you're upset is an opportunity for something different, if you're aware of that fact only, mm-hmm. your life is going to be drastically better, because then you're going to understand, hey, I'm upset, I have a choice.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's using my flowchart, whether that's using what Buddhism talks about or what this guru or that teacher, whatever, as long as you're aware of the fact that you have a choice, your life is drastically going to be improved.
Gotcha. So good resource there for people that are kind of struggling with that and just need a kind of constant reminder to say, all right, if I'm constantly being frustrated with people not meeting the expectations that I haven't laid out, here's kind of a step through process of that. Mm-hmm. Shifting over to kind of your improv, and this is something I'm very interested in. You have improv that you're also relating to team building and customer service. Maybe that's makes sense to a lot of people. Maybe there's this direct correlation. To me, improv is onstage comedy, just kind of, I guess, adapting and navigating a conversation. So help me get to the process of how those things tie together.
Yeah, this is pretty simple, because what do we do every moment of every day of our lives? We improvise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I have never had this conversation. We didn't have a script beforehand. So as long as you understand that there are rules to improv, mm-hmm. then the same rules that apply to stage improv apply to life as well.
Okay.
And I think the way that I teach the rules of improv and how they apply to, you know, business or teams or life or whatever it is that I'm teaching, they're nothing new. Like, all the great teachers, they're all teaching the same thing. I'm just doing it in a different way that I kind of find to be more fun and more useful on a day-to-day basis. So maybe more modern,
okay.
if you will. You know, when I ask people, do you know any rules of improv? The number one rule that everybody seems to know is yes and. Mm. if anybody's heard a rule, that's the rule that they've heard. And what that really comes down to is accepting what is and then doing something with it. Because too often in life, we all deny like what's happening. Oh, no, no, they're not upset with me. When clearly they're upset with you, you know, whatever it might be. Or that, you know, they don't even know what they're talking about. Well, maybe they do know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm not addicted to drinking. Well, anybody who's ever been an addict that's gotten clean had to first, number one, accept that they had a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it doesn't even have to be that extreme. It can be like, my house is dirty and I need to clean it up.
Yeah.
First, you have to accept that the house is dirty. No, the house is fine. You know, you're not going to do anything if the house is fine.
Yeah.
If the house is dirty, then you're going to do something with it. And so on stage, you know, if two people walk out and so one says, you know, hi, mom, how are you? Mm-hmm. The other person now has to say, yeah, I'm mom. And now I have to add to the scene.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that's the correlation. Whereas in life, yeah, I just walked into this situation and I have to accept it before I can do anything with it.
Mm-hmm. So in a customer service world, and I guess the easiest thing to kind of correlate that through is a customer that's frustrated. Not mm-hmm. that we ever have that issue, but a customer is frustrated. And instead of saying, ah, no, it's not a big deal. You're not really having that issue. It's okay. I have that. And this is what we can do to work with it.
Exactly. 100%.
We understand the frustrations HOA board members and property managers face when deciding the best solution for their HOA and pool security. Should we use a keypad, hand out keys, or install a key card system? Do we even need cameras? These are some of the questions that are difficult to navigate, and we're here to help. At LockDock Security, we've spent over 20 years working with homeowners associations and property managers to find a system that best fits the pool and HOA needs. Camera systems for the front gate or front entrance, key card systems for the pool gates, or simply updating the gate so that it meets safety and code compliance. We like to take the guesswork out of the process to answer any questions and help find the right solution. Our mission is to help you protect your people and your property, and that includes pools. Contact our team today to schedule your free consultation for your community. So how are you taking that kind of the rules of improv, which admittedly I have zero knowledge of the rules of improv, so I'm working from a blank slate here. So and maybe that's a good thing. So you can kind of teach me on this a little bit. I'm still trying to draw that context. Like, I like the idea. We do improvise, and we talk about it from an adaptability, flexibility through a conversation because, yeah, you can't – it's very difficult to have a – very clear script, especially in the world of customer service, because there's so many different varieties of things that can happen. And once you get to the end of your script, you're just kind of done and awkward, right? So I do like the idea. It does click with me. It does resonate with me. Is okay. How do you teach the concepts of navigating and improvising through a conversation versus trying to be so very tight knit to a script? Now, here's the question that I would – I don't know if anybody else has asked this before, but in that sense, from a business perspective, how do you also create some guardrails, I guess? Maybe that's an okay word to use, a guardrail so that your customer service doesn't just say yes and then it turns into a major situation where we're just giving away the house for free.
Yeah, well, it is a very good question. And the trick really comes down to understanding all the rules and how they apply and work together.
Okay.
You know, so yes, and is what I'm talking about, where it's accepting what is, and then, you know, you have to go from there. Mm-hmm. You know, the other rule that I sort of alluded to earlier around expectations is be specific.
Okay.
You got that customer who's calling in and they're frustrated. It's like, yes, you're frustrated. And what can I do to bring their frustration down? What can I do to help them? And what specific information can I provide them to get them, you know, off the cliff or off the ledge, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so with internet, you know, your internet's not playing nice. You contact customer service and sure. Say, hey, my internet's not working.
Reboot it.
Right. They're gonna say, okay, I understand your internet's not working. Let's try this, 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 and this, and this. And, you know, you're like, well, I already tried that. All right. Well, cool. Let's try this next thing then. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you tried it and move on to the next thing. ideally, it's not where you're doing customer service of yes, you're frustrated and let me give you the house. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that. It's yes, and have you thought about this or did you try that? Mm-hmm. You know, going through steps and processes. And the other piece, one of the rules is focus on the present. You know, if you're in a customer service call and you're not paying attention to what the customer's saying, you might miss that key word that solves the entire problem.
Mm-hmm.
Where they might say something like, I just found that the cord is disconnected. All right, well, have you tried turning it off and on again, right? If you didn't hear that the cord was disconnected, you'd be like, now you're just pissing them off because yeah. I just told you the cord was disconnected. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you were focused on them talking, say, oh, well, maybe try putting that plug back in and let's see what happens.
So in our world, we're in the security realm, right, where our company does locks and doors and security systems. And we've had that conversation before. So I'm trying to tie this back into very practical. So, you know, a customer calls, and if we're just too focused on, you know, filling out this form or filling out these pertinent pieces of information and we're not listening to what they're saying, they could call and say, hey, my door fell off and I can't close the door to my business. And we aren't paying attention to that. And we say, okay, well, we can schedule somebody to come out there in 3 days. It's like, well, no, my door is falling off. I can't close the door. Okay. Well, so you want us to come out there now. Two totally different conversations, right? Two totally different outcomes. So being present, being focusing on what they're talking about is definitely a key.
Yeah. And all these rules apply stage in life. It really doesn't matter the situation. You know, if you and I are having this conversation right now,
mm-hmm.
if I was thinking about everything that I had to do after we finished, mm-hmm. I was thinking about the dirty house, the laundry, kid at school, whatever it might be. If mm-hmm. I had thought about the project I'm working on next, if I was thinking about those things, would I be able to respond accordingly to the questions that you're asking? Well, no. And you'd be like, well, this is a lame interview. This guy sucks, right? Like, why did we have him on if he's not even paying attention?
Yes.
It wouldn't be good content, good information. And so literally right now, my job and your job is literally just here and now, back and forth, back and forth. Because again, as soon as I finish talking, if I try to anticipate whatever question you're going to ask next, I'm not going to be paying attention to the actual question you ask.
Sure.
You know, think about going out with friends and you're sitting on their phone. Hey, yeah, what? Yeah, go right. What? Huh? What? You know, they're not paying attention. They're on their phone.
Yeah.
And it's just, it doesn't create for good conversation. So focus on the present is just a natural thing that we must do for better communication.
And the more we're having this conversation, I am processing it through all of the dialogues, because you know, even on your website, you're talking about the training with customer service, conflict resolution, and all of those things. There isn't a specific playbook, and that's what a lot of people, I guess, ask for all the time, is just tell me exactly what to do. And there are so many situations where you have to navigate it as it unfolds, you know. And I think, and maybe this is going back too far, maybe this is just going way off the grid here, but you know, in March of 2020, when the pandemic came into play and businesses were being impacted by it, there wasn't a playbook to go to say, this is what we do. And so there was a lot of improvisation. There was a lot of listening, accepting what is and moving from there. There's a lot of being present and focused on the moment and being very specific in what needed to happen. And you see some of those things play out in real life, in business, in family, and in all kinds of situations. So having kind of a good understanding of that, I can see that to be a really practical training or a practical exercise that you're going through with your organization and with your team, because you're just naturally giving people the tools and the resources to adapt through situations and worry less about the predetermined playbook.
Exactly. And that's all that I teach is I give that foundation for which everything else just works, I'm going to say, more effectively from.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have this understanding that when something happens, you first have to accept it before you can do anything else.
Mm.
You know, if you don't have the job you want, you don't have the relationship you don't want, if you don't have the money you want, if you're not in the situation you want to be in, you have to accept, well, this is where I am. So how do I get from here to there? Because if you think you're, you know, that's the whole point A to point B scenario.
Sure.
You have to know your point A to get to point B. Mm-hmm. And that's acceptance. I have to accept where I am to know where my point A is. If I don't accept my point A, what's the point?
Yeah.
Right. And so that's kind of that's the best way to look at it is if you get this foundation, you accept what is, and you allow yourself to be in that moment and really focus on it, then getting to point B is just a step and another step and another step, as opposed to this really long road you have to go down, which is that long road is a pain in the ass because you're like, look, you're trying to see everything that's going on in that road. And you're just not able to. So you just have to take it the one step. And it's much easier that way.
Yeah. So I mean, this is very intriguing, and I'm really trying to kind of process it and bring it into the folds of an organization, because there is so many similarities and I can see it to be so practical. And I know that a lot of people, because I've talked to a lot of business owners, and they're constantly searching for kind of the bullet points and the strategy and the playbook. And I'm thinking now, like, what you're talking about is having more of the rules of understanding how to just navigate a conversation, teaching that, and then piling in all of the data and the information that you need, you know, whatever specific is for your industry. But if you miss out on the fundamentals of navigating a conversation or navigating any type of a situation, then you're going to struggle because that's just a big part of life.
Yeah. A great way to look at it is the sports analogy. If you don't know the rules of the sport, mm-hmm. how can you play it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you don't know, American football, if you don't understand, like if the quarterback throws the ball, you have to catch it. It can't hit the ground first.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, now you can actually perform a pass and catch play. But if you're like, oh, if it hits the ground and then hits my hands, then we're all good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's not how it works. So you have to understand the fundamental rules of the game before you can start playing within those boundaries and really make some magic happen. And I actually talk about that in my book. I'm like, if we watched some sports team play and there were no rules, we would have no idea if somebody's winning or losing. We would have no idea if they're doing something that was valid or not.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it would just get really boring and you'd be like, I don't know why that guy's running, you know, out of the stadium and into the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what play is that?
Yeah.
So the fundamental foundation, the rules that define that sport really make it more enjoyable to watch. So in a team situation, whether it's conflict resolution or just having more productivity or better communication, if you have this foundational set of rules, everything else that goes on top of it just becomes magic.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've often talked about how soccer makes no sense to me because they just run around for a long period of time and then never score any points. And then hockey in the same sense, I don't get it because it just seems like a bunch of chaos and they never score. But I also don't understand the rules of either one of those sports. And so they just annoy me because it looks like they're performing exerting useless energy for no outcome. But there's probably something happening there. I just don't know the rules.
Yeah. And you know, with the sports like those, the rules, they're harder to follow because it's moving so quickly,
mm-hmm.
especially in hockey. You know, you don't understand that so-and-so can't cross a line until the puck does, or the defenseman can't come, you know, this way or that way, whatever it might be.
Sure.
And then you have to understand the other team is playing the same set of rules and they're trying to keep the other team from scoring. And so it's this magical balance of, you know, offense versus defense and like who's going to perform better within the boundaries and the rules that are set. Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah, it's low scoring, but you know, when they score, it's a big deal sort of thing. So
that's what everybody's told me. I still don't understand it,
yeah,
but
it's totally fine.
Can you copy this key? That's a question we get asked about 3,422 times a year. And how can you actually be sure that the person who asked that question is supposed to get a copy of that key? Well, we think you should always know who can copy your keys to your business and your home, because it could be your neighbor, an old employee, a contractor, or even worse, your mother-in-law. At LockDock Security, we believe in protected key systems, so you always know who has a copy of your key. To find out more, visit LockDock.net or stop by our Charlotte location. LockDock Security, helping you protect your people and your property. I'm tracking with you on that and understanding the rules so you can understand the guidelines of where you're at. Pile in some information, some data for the whatever the industry that you're in. But it gives you that structure to be able to navigate a lot of variety of things, solving customer problems, probably dealing with internal conflict, or even not necessarily just dealing with customer problems, but dealing with problems inside of your own organization, or trying to help people get to a resolution inside of your own organization, because that's just a big part of it as well.
Yeah, and the most important relationship we have is the one we have with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so these rules still apply within ourselves too. We have full-on conversations with ourselves, whether we want to admit it or not. You know, should I eat that? No, I shouldn't eat that. Should I go exercise today? Nah, yeah, no, I'm going to go exercise today. You know, whatever it might be.
Sure.
But we have to have those conversations with ourselves, and sometimes we have to accept, like, hey, I said I was going to exercise. I guess I did. Yeah, maybe I should. So, honestly, the conversations we have with ourselves, we come up with so many justifications, but this does help.
Yeah, most definitely. Well. All right, so you've got several resources. You have a website. It's called successimprov.com. You've got a lot of resources on there. There's your website right there. You've got a lot of resources there for people to check out as well, and some downloads there. And then they can. Are you doing these workshops virtually as well now, or is it all in person?
We can do both, virtual or in person.
Very cool. Absolutely. And so you're helping lots of companies kind of navigate this process and do this. Is it specifically for small business? Are you like what are the type of clients that you're typically helping with this?
So it's more group size. I love groups of about 20. Okay. So if a company has like 100 employees, then I would say like, let's do a morning session, an afternoon session, and over like a couple of days.
Okay.
So that, you know, people can still work and we get, you know, everybody on the same page after a week. Mm-hmm. But some companies want to do like everybody at once, in which case, you know, it's not going to be a 2-hour workshop. It's going to be like all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's ways to make it work, whatever size it is. You know, if it's a nationwide company, well, that's fine. Let's hire me up and I'll just do workshops around the country for a whole year.
Very cool. And then you have a book as well, and all that information is there on your website.
Yeah, links to the books and everything are on that website and the Having Expectations website.
Very cool. Well, Ben, thanks again for joining us today. It was a blast chatting with you, and hopefully you got some good insights out of the conversation today. If you'd like to find out more, you can check out his website at successimprov.com, and there's links there. And man, check out that Defining Expectations flowchart. It's kind of helpful as well. Thanks again for joining us today. We look forward to chatting with you next time. We've got some more great guests on the lineup for you, so make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a new episode. We have a brand new one coming your way every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. It's called the Coffee Break Podcast, and we'll see you next time.